हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरिवरदारी, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अश्वत्थ सहस्री। हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अश्वत्थ सहस्री। हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 3 एंटाइटल्ड लिबरेशन फ्रॉम द इल्यूशरी एनर्जी टेक्स्ट नंबर 49। शुचि सम्मुखमासीन प्राण संयमनादिभिः पिंडं विशोद्य सन्यास कृतरक्षोर्चयेद्दरिम्। शुचिः सम्मुखमासीन प्राण संयमनादिभिः पिंडं विशोद्य सन्यास కృతరక్షోర్చయేధరిం శుచిస్సమ్ముఖమాసీన ప్రాణసంయమనాదిభిః పిండం విశోధ్య సన్యాస కృతరక్షోర్చయేధరిం. శుచిస్సమ్ముఖమాసీన 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 ప్రాణసంయహణాదిభిః శుచిస్సమ్ముఖమాసీన వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. శుచి క్లీన్, సమ్ముఖం ఫేసింగ్ ద డీటీ, ఆసీనః తస్ సీటెడ్, ప్రాణ సంయమన ఆదిభిః బై ప్రాణాయామ బ్రీదింగ్ ఎక్సర్సైజెస్ అండ్ అదర్ మీన్స్ పిండం ద గ్రాస్ బాడీ విశోధ్య ప్యూరిఫైయింగ్ సన్యాస by placing transcendental marks of tilaka on various parts of the body. Krita rakshaha, in this way invoking the Lord's protection. Archayet, one should worship Harim, Lord Hari. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: after cleansing oneself, purifying the body by pranayama, bhuta shuddhi and other processes, and marking the body with sacred tilaka for protection, one should sit in front of the deity and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport: pranayam is the authorized Vedic process for controlling the air within the body. Similarly, bhuta shuddhi is a process for purifying the body. The word shuchi means that one should be internally and externally clean. Shuchi means that one should perform activities only for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If somehow or other one can remember the Supreme Lord constantly by chanting and hearing His holy name, one will come to the pure stage of life as described in this Vedic mantra. Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatopi va yasparet mundarikaksham sa bahyabhyantara shuchihi. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that although one may mark the body with sacred tilaka, perform the mudras and chant mantras, if one is thinking within his mind of material sense gratification, his worship of Lord Sri Hari is bogus. Therefore, the word shuchi here indicates that one should worship the Lord in a favorable frame of mind, considering the Lord to be sacred and oneself to be an insignificant servant of the Lord. those who are not favorably inclined toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not like to worship the deity in the temple, and they discourage people from going to the temple of the Lord by saying that since the Lord is omnipresent, there is no need to do so. Such envious persons prefer the gymnastic exercises of Hatha Yoga or the Raja Yoga system. But statements by the Lord Himself, such as Vasudeva Sarvamiti and Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, indicate that in mature transcendental realization, one understands that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the source of everything and therefore the only worshipable object. Thus, the devotees who worship the deity of the Lord, according to the Pancharatra system, are not attracted by any yoga process except Bhakti Yoga. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatisva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Ramo, Hare Hare. So we are reading from the 11th canto, 3rd chapter. The discussion between the Navayogendras and Maharaj Nimi. Maharaj Nimi has asked one question to each of the 9 Yogendras. So currently the 6th question and its answer is going on. So now Nimi Maharaj asked the question about the process of Karma Yoga. Now in this series of verses, the last section of this chapter from 49 to 55, Avir Hotra, as part of the answer to the Karma Yoga, he is especially talking about the worship of the deity form of the Lord. So this is the first verse in this series where he is actually talking about worship of the deity forms. The further verses will actually describe more details in worshipping the deity form. Because especially for a person who is in contact with the material energy, say for a grihastha and for a king, so for them it is very much important that one should practically engage in the deity worship. Srila Prabhupada has emphasized greatly. He mentions in one purport in that when Prahlad Maharaj is explaining the Navavida Bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, so in that Srila Prabhupada has given elaborate purport describing each of the nine processes of bhakti. So when he explains about deity worship, he says that it is actually compulsory for a householder. And he explains that one should personally engage, not just appoint somebody to actually worship the deities. So maybe we can go through the purport when you go home, but I just remembered that. So the reason is that because especially when we are living in this world, say for a householder, for anybody who is living outside temple, one is in contact with the material energy. So therefore it is very important that one engages one's physical senses, our hands and legs, one's karmendriyas, in the service of the Supreme Lord. And also one should utilize the fruits of one work, one should utilize the money in the service of the Supreme Lord. So therefore deity worship is especially essential. So he says that brahmacharis, traditionally they are supposed to assist the sannyasis and the grihasthas. They should, if you see that traditionally in the temples, that grihasthas are a particular family of the grihasthas, they actually worship the deities, and then generation after generation they continue to worship. Sometimes because of the progress of the age, sometimes we may not know this thing, but at least we can know this principles, how much we can implement that is in the present time, in the present city, that is a different thing. But at least if we know this principle, we can look forward towards it. The reason is that the deity is actually installed and staying at one particular place. So therefore, we also need people who also don't move. So grihastha means one who is situated in the house, one who is actually situated in a place. Generally, they don't travel much. So therefore, grihasthas are actually, they are engaged in deity worship. That is the principle. So here, Avirhotra is mentioning the Shuchi Sammukam Asina. After cleansing oneself, purifying the body by pranayama, bhuta shuddhi and other processes, and marking the body with tilak, one should sit in front of the deity and worship the Supreme Lord. So here, shuchihi means, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is commenting that one should purify oneself externally and internally. One should worship the Lord in a favorable state of mind. He says that suppose a person follows externally the mantras and chants the mantras and follows the mudras. But if the mind is not in a, if the mind is thinking about material sense gratification, such kind of worship is a bogus. Therefore, one should train the mind to be situated in a favorable state of mind. So in the Vayu Puran, there is a story. So there was a Brahmana called a Sushil. He had two sons, Vritti and Suvritti. So both of the sons were actually highly trained in the scriptures. And once these two sons, Vritta and Suvritta, they went on a pilgrimage to Prayag. So when they are going on a pilgrimage, they came near the outskirts of Prayag. They wanted to actually celebrate the Janmashtami festival at Prayag in the Bindu Madhav temple. But when they were coming close to Prayag, there was a very heavy rain and it was like a lot of thunderbolts and really heavy rain. So at that time, so they were really confused, like how to proceed ahead. They were close to the city of Prayag, but in the outskirts. So at that time, Suvritta, because of great difficulty, he just wanted to take shelter of some place. So the place which was nearby was a brothel. So he just went and took shelter of the brothel, just to protect himself from the rain. The Suvritta also told his brother Vritta, please actually come. It is not safe for us to actually go in this rain. You also come here. But then Vritta did not listen to Suvritta's advice and he went ahead. And he went ahead, it was severe rain, and somehow or other he reached the temple of Bindu Madhu. The next day was Janmashtami. And in the temple of Bindu Madhu there was very nice celebration of Krishna's appearance festival. There was a nice abhishek, nice katha was going on, a nice kirtan, and he partook in the worship of the Lord. He partook in different services. But then Vritta, although he was externally participating in the katha, kirtan, but in his mind he was thinking about that the situation of Suvritta in the brothel. So in his mind, he was thinking that because his mind was actually not controlled, his mind was not in a favorable state of mind, he was not having a favorable state of mind, he was thinking in his mind that my brother, he is in a brothel, he must be actually enjoying the company of some beautiful women, maybe some, they must be dancing nicely, he must be watching their dance, he may be having the association of those beautiful women. He was actually externally in that all those festivities, but his mind was completely imagining what must be going on in the brothel, that his brother must be enjoying in the brothel. So it is explained that he was like a his mind was like a, just like a, when you see a painted picture, you see a picture is there, but then externally, but it is still, but it appears that there are some activities are going on, but it is still, in the sense, is physically he was present, physically he was there, but his mind was actually going on in the brothel. And then, on the other hand, Suvritta, although he was in the brothel, he was actually thinking that, my brother is so fortunate, he must be attending the Janmashtami festival. So he must be actually hearing the Krishna Katha, he must be actually participating in the Kirtan, he will be taking part in the worship of the Supreme Lord. So I am so unfortunate that I am so sinful that my eyes, because they cannot see the deity form of the Lord, my eyes are like the plumes of a peacock. Because my ears are not engaged in hearing Krishna Katha, my ears are like holes. My hands are not engaged in the service of the Lord. My hands are simply like some wooden plank. So I am so unfortunate that although both of us were actually born in the same family, both of us actually came to Prayag, but my brother could actually go to participate in the Janmashtami festival, but I am so unfortunate that I must have performed a great sins in the past life. So in this way, he spent the whole day in the brothel lamenting about his misfortune. And then the Janmashtami day passed. The next day when the rain subsided, both of them left from their respective places. And somehow by the will of the providence, both of them met on the way, Vritta and Suvritta. So at that time there was a sudden lightning, and the lightning fell on them and both of them died instantly. When they died instantly, Yamadutas and Vishnudutas both came to the place. And Yamadutas came to take actually Vritta, and Vishnudutas came to take Suvritta. So Suvritta was actually perplexed. What kind of a justice system? I spent the whole day in the brothel. I could not take part in the Janmashtami festival, but I am being taken to actually the Vaikuntha. But my brother, he actually took part in the Janmashtami festival, but he is being taken to the hellish planets. So he inquired from the Vishnudutas, like, what kind of a justice system? It appears very strange. The Vishnudutas replied that actually your brother, although he was actually in the Bindu Madhav temple, he was externally taking part in the Janmashtami festival, in his mind he had committed many sinful activities. But in your case, although you are physically present in the brothel, in your mind you are only thinking about the Janmashtami festival which was going on there. You are actually, in your mind you are engaged in actually devotional activities. So therefore, so they said, they speak a beautiful verse that, so therefore according to our judgment, you are fit for going to Vaikuntha. Because he has committed many sins in his mind, he is actually fit for going to hell. So then they say that the associates of Lord Vishnu say, Shrunu dharma rahasyam tvam vichitram romaharshanam karmanam kriti matram tu na dadati phalam mahat sarvesham api karmanam manashuddhirhi karanam. So hear from me the amazing secret of religiosity. Simply by carrying out activities, religiosity, mechanically, one does not obtain the real fruit. Sarvesham api karmanam manashuddhirhi karanam. In all the activities, purity of the mind is the actual cause of success. And then he says, manasa chanchale naiva kritam karmana dukkadam. Activities performed with a fickle mind end up being distressful. On the other hand, if one performs acts of religiosity with a dedicated mind, the fruits are manifold. So then, Vishnudevatas, when they gave this verdict, then Suvritta said, but then, I don't want to go to Vaikuntha alone without my brother. Better don't take me to Vaikuntha, or tell me some means by which my brother can also come to Vaikuntha. So that time Vishnudutta said, if you want your brother also to come to Vaikuntha, then you offer the many days back, you took a Magasnan. You took actually a Magasnan in the holy place of Prayag. So you offer that, you took that Magasnan in your mind with complete concentration. You offer that results of that Magasnan to your brother, and then by that he will also be able to come to Vaikuntha. And then he offered the results of the Magasnana, and then he came to Vaikuntha. So the essence of this point is that this story is actually mentioned in the Vayu Puran, which describes about the glories of Magasnana. But another important point in the story is that the importance of performing the spiritual activities while investing our mind and consciousness into those spiritual activities. And which is the main point which Saraswati Thakur is actually writing in this purport. So therefore that Rupa Goswami explains in the Sadhana Bhakti, he says the essence of the Sadhana Bhakti is to somehow or other fix the mind on Krishna. Tasmat kena pyupayena mana Krishna nishevayet. So that is why we find, as it is said, that mind can make a hell out of heaven or a heaven out of hell. Hiranyakashipu was actually in a heavenly situation. In fact, he had all the demigods who are the controllers of the heavenly planets under his control. He had the whole universe under his control, but in the case of Hiranyakashipu, sa yittam nirjita kakub ekarat vishayan priyan yatopajosham bunjano natrupyat ajitendriyaha. So Hiranyakashipu, it is described that he could actually enjoy any amount of sense objects, and he had all capacity to enjoy. He had all the demigods under his control, but still he was actually not satisfied because ajitendriga, because his senses and mind were not under his control. So because his mind actually made a heaven out of hell. He was all the time actually miserable because his mind and senses were not under control. Although he had all the controllers of the heavenly planets under his control. On the other hand, we find the Avanti Brahmana. Avanti Brahmana, which Krishna tells about the 23rd chapter of the 11th canto. This Avanti Brahmana, Krishna is actually telling that story. Krishna says that this Avanti Brahmana, he was rejected by his family members. He was completely ridiculed by the whole society. People were actually spitting at him. People were speaking such harsh words towards him. Like Krishna says that somebody physically hurts, the wound caused by the arrows can also be healed. But the wound caused by the harsh words, it's very difficult to actually forget those harsh words. But in the case of Avanti Brahmana, people spoke such harsh words, they actually insulted him thoroughly. But Krishna tells the story, but this Avanti Brahmana, with great determination, he remembered that I am suffering because of my past karma. And then Krishna goes on to tell the story of the Avanti Brahmana. And with his great determination, understood he is suffering because of his past karma, and he focused his mind on Krishna. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after his when he took sannyas, he actually speaks a verse, which is the verse spoken by the Avanti Brahmana. Yetam sa astaya paratma nishtam. Is the next line? Adhyasitam purvatamair. So he says that, he speaks the verse spoken by the Avanti Brahmana. So from that we can understand that this Avanti Brahmana, he was actually in a hellish situation, but his mind was under control, so therefore, he made a hell out of a heaven. So therefore it's explained in that Vayu Purana at the end of that story. It is said that, an intelligent person will try to control the mind by all means, one should listen with faith to any spiritual literature that helps in controlling the mind. And any bona fide sampradaya and guru that can resolve one's doubts. So, in that way they are emphasizing this particular point. So, and another thing which is explained in this particular purport is that about the point of Bhuta Shuddhi, one should actually, before worshipping the deity, one should cleanse one's body, one should actually perform pranayama in order to control the airs within the body, because it is not proper to pass air in front of the deity. So therefore it is explained that pranayama is a means by which one can actually control the airs, purify the airs. And also Bhuta Shuddhi is a process of purifying the body. Or another place it is explained that Bhuta Shuddhi is also, it also means like having a favorable attitude, having a pure consciousness or a good consciousness. In the Bhagavad Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami explains that in regards to deity worship, Na Devo Deva Marchayet. Na Devo Deva Marchayet means that one should not worship the divine without becoming divine. Or one, Devam Bhutva Yajeta Devam. After purifying oneself, after becoming divine, worship the divine. Of course, it is a means of purifying oneself, but it is also mentioned in the sense that one should have a certain favorable state of mind. One should have a favorable mood. In that sense, it is explained. So, Bhuta Shuddhi, the process of the conditioned souls have got a material body. So, therefore, before engaging the material body in the service of the Supreme Lord, one should purify the body by the process of Bhuta Shuddhi. And that is what is explained in the Upasana Shastra. Upasana is the worship of the Supreme Lord. Literally, if we take the word Upasana, Upasana means having a seat near to the Lord. But it is said that it does not mean that simply having a physical seat near to the Lord. It means one should also be near to the Lord in one's consciousness. So one may say being near to the Lord in one's consciousness means, one may think, are you propagating something called as Ahangropasana? Ahangropasana means I am the Supreme Lord. thinking oneself that Krishna says in the 9th chapter, Ekatvena Pratakvena Bahuda Vishvato Mukam. Ahangaropasana means thinking oneself to be like a god. It's not Ahangaropasana. It means that one should think oneself as a servant of the Lord. So Upasana means having a seat near to the Lord, not just physically having a seat near to the Lord, but in consciousness one should be near to the Lord. So that means that thinking oneself to be a servant of the Lord. So as part of the Bhuta Shuddhi, we chant this particular verse chanted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Naham vipru nacha narapatir napi vaishyona shudro. Naham varani nacha grahapatir no vanasto yatirva. Kintu pradhyan nikila paramananda purnamrute ebder. Gopi bharatur padakamulayur dasa dasanudas. I am neither a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, nor a brahmachari, grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. Whereas I am just a servant of the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is worshipped by the gopis. So in this way we can find that there is a particular, one should try to purify oneself externally, the physical body, and also one should develop a favorable mind before worshipping the deity. These injunctions are explained in this particular verse. And also, many times one may get a question that if the Yuga Dharma for this age is hearing and chanting, what is the need for deity worship? So Prabhupada explains in a purport that the reason for deity worship, although the Yuga Dharma is hearing and chanting, is that deity worship, it decreases the material contamination, and deity worship decreases the non-devotional tendencies. We have different non-devotional tendencies because of the past conditioning. But naturally, when a person comes in front of the deity, one becomes conscious, one actually, it helps also because one is supposed to take bath and then worship the Lord. So naturally it helps a person to develop sattva guna. And also deity worship brings steadiness to the materially agitated mind. So these things help us to take shelter of the hearing and chanting in a better manner. Of course, deity worship, one is that actually physically engaging in the deity worship, but also deity worship also means that coming to the place where the deity is being worshipped and taking darshan of the Supreme Lord, attending the aarti ceremony of the Lord, or assisting in the deity worship, either directly or indirectly, or through one's maybe through money or many different ways. So essentially the deity worship is important, although hearing and chanting is the Yuga Dharma, because it helps us to actually decrease the non-devotional tendencies, etc., so that we can better take shelter of hearing and chanting. And Shivaram Maharaj explains in his book two beautiful points in regards to deity worship. He says that deity worship increases the devotee's interest to hear about the Supreme Lord. And then he explains, deity worship bestows the ability to concentrate the mind, which increases the capacity to hear. So one is that it increases the interest to hear about the Lord, and second is that because it bestows the ability to concentrate the mind, it increases one's capacity to hear about the Lord. And we find that in the prayer of Prithu Maharaj, because Prithu Maharaj is an example for one who attained perfection by deity worship. But Prithu Maharaj, in his prayer, he says that, Na kamaye nata tadapyaham kvachin nayatra yusmat charanam bujasava mahattamantar hridayan mukachyuto vidatsva karna yutameshame varaha. So he says that, I do not desire liberation even in the worst of difficulties. At any circumstance, even in the worst of difficulties, I do not desire liberation. On the other hand, I desire actually millions of years so that I can hear Krishna Katha from all the different devotees which is going on in different places. I want to hear the Krishna Katha spoken by the devotees who actually speak from their heart. So in that purport, Krishna Chakotakur writes that Prithu Maharaj is saying that I don't want to miss out any Krishna Katha spoken by any devotee and spoken in relation to any subject concerning the Lord and spoken in any place. So, when you read this verse, what I am mentioning is that like Prithu Maharaj is an example of one who actually was attached to deity worship. From his attachment, if we see in this line, it increased his interest to hear about the Lord in such a way, he is saying that I don't want to miss out any topic concerning the Lord. And the fact that it is increasing his capacity to hear about the Lord, deity worship, that is shown by Prithu Maharaj is saying that I want millions of years. I don't want to miss out any Krishna Katha. So, just on this point, and Prithu Maharaj is saying, I want to hear Krishna Katha spoken by any devotee, spoken by any subject. Yeah, there is a principle, Rupa Goswami, when he describes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says that one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam from like-minded devotees, sa jatiya snigdha, from devotees who are more advanced than oneself and who are like-minded in nature, like that he explains. But sometimes, one may apply the principle of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam also wrongly. Yeah, hearing from like-minded devotees, that is there. Everybody has a particular attachment to hearing from certain devotees. That is one natural, this one is there. But still, seeing from the attitude of Prithu Maharaj, he is saying that I don't want to miss out Krishna Katha spoken by any devotee, spoken by any subject. So practically speaking, like suppose somebody is eating different foodstuffs, he is not able to digest. He's having difficulty in digesting different foodstuffs. So he goes to a doctor, and especially sometimes Ayurvedic doctor, they advise that your digestion fire is very weak. So don't eat many varieties of foodstuffs. Just eat simple foodstuffs, maybe just rice, dal, sabji, not even mixed sabjis. Just eat one type of sabji, which will be easy for your stomach to actually digest. So like that they advise. So if you see in the physical platform, after a certain age, it is not possible to improve on digestion. Because the body is going to deteriorate. That you can't, after maybe 50 years, 60 years or something, you can't improve the digestion capacity. You will have to simplify yourself to a simple diet. So you can't, you will not be able to eat varieties of foodstuffs. So therefore, in order to adjust yourself to the digestion capacity, you may have to eat maybe simple foodstuffs. But on a spiritual platform, in regards to our capacity for hearing different Krishna Katha. Because different devotees speak Krishna Katha, each devotee has a different flavor of Krishna Katha. Just like in eating foodstuffs, there are different varieties of foodstuffs, some South Indian, North Indian, Gujarati, Maharashtrian, there's Italian, so many different varieties are there. But only a very young person can eat maybe all different varieties of foodstuffs and still he has no problem in digestion. But old person may not have. But in regards to different varieties of flavors of Krishna Katha, how can we actually improve our digestion capacity to actually hear different flavors of Krishna Katha spoken by different devotees? So in the physical platform, we can't improve the digestion capacity. But is it possible to increase our digestion capacity in the form of hearing Krishna Katha spoken by different flavors of devotees. It is possible when a person learns to see through the eyes of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So, the fact somebody, just like when somebody is not able to eat different kinds of foodstuffs, that is a sign that the digestion capacity is weak. So, similarly, when a person is not able to appreciate different flavors of Krishna Katha, not the mundane Katha, then it could be the digestion capacity is weak. But then what is the way by which we can increase the digestion capacity? By learning to see through the eyes of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. When we learn that, we will be able to appreciate Krishna Katha spoken by any devotee, spoken by any topic concerning the Lord. And that is what Prithu Maharaj's prayer over here. And in regards to another point, regards to deity worship, in the Nectar of Devotion, in one of the chapters, Rupa Goswami is quoting a beautiful verse. Once Krishna was once addressed by his friend. So his friend, one of the friend of Krishna, told Krishna, "My dear Mukunda, due to their being separated from you, the cowherd boys are standing just like neglected deities in the house of a professional brahmana." So this friend is saying that because it seems that you have neglected some of your friends and associates, so all these friends, they are like a standing still, just like a neglected deities in the house of a professional brahmana. So Prabhupada is elaborating this analogy by saying that there is a class of professional brahmanas who take deity worship as a means of earning their livelihood. So brahmanas in this class are not very interested in the deity. They are interested mainly in the money that they can earn through the deity. So such people, they don't worship the deity. And they actually, they don't dress the deity every day. They don't properly offer bhoga to the deity. So Prabhupada says that actually deity worship should be done very carefully. The dress should be changed daily. And as far as possible, there should be ornaments. Everything should be so clean that the deity is attractive to all visitors. Here the example is given of the deities in the house of a professional brahmana because such deities are not at all attractive. So similarly, these cowherd boyfriends being neglected at Krishna, they didn't care themselves. They were not looking very attractive. The friends of Krishna in the absence of Krishna were appearing like such neglected deities. So therefore, the point is that sometimes there could be a tendency that because there is deity everywhere, sometimes people maybe welcome the deities. But after welcoming the deities, one doesn't pay attention to the deities. One doesn't, practically the deity is neglected, proper offering is not made. So therefore, one should not consider deity worship just like a fashion that, because many people are doing so, let me also invite the deities and then later you neglect the deities. Because we may not be professional brahmana. Professional brahmanas, they neglect because they're interested in the money. But the neglect towards the deities, it may come because we are not actually conscious the Lord is there, and then because we just invited the deities just because everyone is inviting, just to because of certain social prestige or social this one. So that kind of attitude should be avoided. So because these verses are about deity worship, I wanted to just mention that. And another point Saraswati Thakur is mentioning here, that sometimes there are certain pseudo uttamadhikaris. Uttamadhikari means, uttamadhikari is an advanced devotee who can see the presence of Krishna everywhere. But there are pseudo uttamadhikari, it means like they speak as if like they will say that Lord is there everywhere. So there is no need to go to temple. They speak like words of a uttamadhikari, Lord is there everywhere, so there is no need to go to temple. But such kind of people are pseudo uttamadhikari. Actually, they are lower than a Kanishtha Adhikari. But they speak as if repeating the realizations of Uttama Adhikari. Because in the case of a Kanishtha Adhikari, although his vision of the Supreme Lord is limited only to the place of worship, but at least he is actually worshipping the Supreme Lord. He is recognizing the presence of the Lord in the deity. But these pseudo-Uttamadhikaris, they speak like Uttamadhikari, but they don't recognize even the presence of the Lord in the deity, in the temple. So therefore, they are actually lower than a Kanishtha Adhikari. So that is why Prabhupada explains in a purport in third canto, deity worship is recommended for a Kanishtha Adhikari, but advanced devotees should not neglect it. So the question is that if you think yourself to be a Kanishtha Adhikari, then one should understand, oh, it is recommended for me. So if we think ourselves to be an advanced devotee, then Prabhupada is saying don't avoid it. So in that sense, deity worship is meant for this one, and it helps one in hearing and chanting. And we see here that Navayogendra's Nimi Maharaj is hearing from the different Navayogendras. So there is a cooperation between the sannyasis and the brahmanas and the kings, the kshatriyas. Just like Krishna explains in the Gita, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanurdharaha, Tatra Sri Vijayobhutir Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Wherever there is Krishna and Arjun, there will be definitely victory, morality, justice, etc. So wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, it also implies a practical principle, because Krishna gave the vision, Krishna gave the transcendental knowledge, and Arjuna acted according to the transcendental knowledge. So wherever there is a Brahmana who gives the spiritual vision, and wherever there is a Kshatriya who is willing to implement that vision, then there will be Tatra Srir Vijayo Bhutir Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. In that sense, this verse gives an eternal principle, not just Krishna and Arjuna were present 5000 years back, but then it gives a principle of the cooperation between the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas, and between the Grahasthas and the renounced order. So, in that way, there is another cooperation, there is another important combination is between a leader and a manager. So, what are the characteristics of a leader and a manager? A leader is a person who sees everybody in the society as having something to contribute. A leader actually empowers more and more people, and he controls less. A manager, on the other hand, sees everybody as having some shortcoming, and therefore he sees people as making mistakes. A manager is more control-centric and less empowering. And in the case of a leader, he has a natural trust in the people, but he has to cultivate and struggle to find mistakes in the followers. And in the case of a manager, he has a natural critical mindset, but he has to struggle to trust people. So the point is a psychophysical nature of a leader and manager. But when a leader and a manager work as a team, they bring tremendous benefit to the organization. Yeah, some people, they may have a natural mindset. So the point here is that when they both of them work as a team, then there will be greatly beneficial. On the other hand, when the leaders and manager work and use their, leader has a certain weak side and a manager has a weak side. But when they use their weak side to run an organization, then it will create a disastrous results. So one person's weak side should be taken care of by the another person's strong side, and vice versa. So if we see the example of Bhishma and Vidur, in the Mahabharata, Bhishma, he had the nature of a leader. Like, he was actually he was empowering and trusting upon Duryodhan. Although Duryodhan was committing so many mistakes, but still Bhishma trusted Duryodhan. He actually divided the kingdom, made Duryodhan as the prince. He was hoping that Duryodhan would improve. That was the mindset of a leader. But on the other hand, Vidur, from the very beginning, he didn't want Duryodhan to do anything with the royal family. He was always critical. He told that if you don't reject this one particular son, your entire dynasty will be destroyed. He was always having a critical mindset. So therefore, when the leader and manager understand each other's forte and weakness and help each other in seeing from a complete perspective, then the person whom they are seeing gets encouragement from the leader and discipline from the manager. So when they work together, so the person whom they are dealing with, the person, because one needs both encouragement and also discipline. One will get encouragement from the leader and discipline from the manager. So we need actually both the leader and the encouraging side and also the discipline, both are actually needed in our life. Means like we need actually Bhishma's side and also Vidura's side. And if we see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is a perfect harmonizer. Krishna, sometimes he chastised Arjuna, sometimes he encouraged Arjuna. Daivi sampad vimokshaya nibandaya surimata mashucha sampadam daivim abhijatosi pandava. So in this verse, Krishna is encouraging Arjuna. He is saying that you are not a demoniac person. You are having a daivi sampad. You are having actually you are having a lot of spiritual pious credits. You are having the wealth of piety. You are not actually unlike the asuras. Like that, he encourages Arjuna. Another verse, he says, Durgatim Tata Gachyati. Affectionate Arjuna, a person who practices spiritual life, he is never lost. Many times he encourages Arjuna. At the same time, he also actually disciplines Arjuna. He is saying that, Klaibhyam Masma Gamaparta Naitatva Yupapadyate. Shudram Hrudaya Darubalyam Tyaktvotishta Parantapa. Why are you acting like an impotent? Where did this impurities come from? Kutastva kashmalam idam vishame samupastitam. And you are speaking like a learned person. Actually, you are a fool. You are speaking like the words of a learned person, but your words are they don't belong to the learned person. So in this way, many places Krishna also chastised Arjuna, but some places Krishna also encouraged Arjuna. So therefore, a good leader is a person who also has a flavor of a manager. And a good manager has a flavor of a leader. So when a person gets the fortune to work under such a person, Krishna, or such a representative of Krishna who has both these flavors, and that is a great fortune. And lastly, I will just end with this point, that we see here that the Navayogendras, they're traveling to different places. They have come to the house of Nimi Maharaj. They are trying to enlighten Nimi Maharaj and help him by giving transcendental knowledge. So there are four kinds of people in this world. One kind of person is like a Jnani type of a person. Such a person is not at all concerned with the sufferings of this world. He is just all the time concerned about his transcendence. He is completely indifferent to the sufferings of or the people who are experiencing this world. Like Prahlad Maharaj says that, Prayena Deva Munayo Sva Vimukti Kama. There are many people, they are interested only in their own salvation. They are not concerned about others. I don't want to be like them. Such people, they go to the Himalayas and stay there. But I want to actually help people. So, Jnanis are indifferent to the people suffering. On the other hand, there is another, is Karmis. In the case of the Karmis, they are absorbed in enjoying this world. They are absorbed in enjoying this world. And either through pious means or impious means, But they don't worry about life after that. They don't worry about transcendence, etc. And there is a third kind of person. These people, they are moved by the sufferings of the people in this world. And they try to help people. But in trying to help people, they start asking that, why God has given so much of suffering? And because they try to get answers to these questions on their own, and when they are unable to get answers, they become atheists. So many philanthropists, you will find that many philanthropists turn out to be atheists. Although they are trying to help people, because they don't have the right answers for why God actually has given suffering, they feel that God is a cruel person, that they become atheists or God does not exist. But the fourth kind of person, which is what actually Krishna wanted Arjuna to be, that Krishna said that you harmonize your personal growth with the growth of the society in all the levels, physical, mental, and the spiritual level. Because Arjuna was interested in one sense, I don't want to do anything with the battle, I just want to go to the forest. But then Krishna said, but this decision will not be actually good for the society. A person may be interested in the personal growth, either materially or spiritually, but we should harmonize that with the growth of the society. So that is what the example of the Pandavas, and we find that in that way, we find this Navayogendras, although they are deeply immersed in their actually, in their spiritual practices, they are trying to help the Nimi Maharaj. And Nimi Maharaj, he is trying to, although he is also in one sense a materialist from the point of view of a king, he is dealing with the material energy, but at the same time he is trying to hear transcendental knowledge from the Navayogendras. And also in that way you will be able to help the kingdom and other people. So I'll stop here. Rantaran Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai, Srila Prabhupada ki chai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki chai.